Once again, good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I'm sure that you, as am I, we are rejoicing and glad in it. It's good to be here, good to be alive. Listen, let's get right into the lesson. I don't want to prolong the time. We are in lesson number eight, and the title of our lesson is aptly titled Healing on the Sabbath. Healing on the Sabbath is found in the book of Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about confirmed by mighty miracles. In other words, these miracles in which Jesus performed. Remember, this is after the crucifixion that Jesus has now come back, and he's performing these miracles. And as such, as he's performing these miracles, people are not believing him for who he says he is. They're not believing him for who he says he is. And so he demonstrates his deity. He demonstrates his authority through these miracles that he performs. Remember first Sunday, lesson number six, we talked about Jesus's first miracles, where he turned the water into wine in John chapter 2, there at the wedding in Cana. And then just on last Sunday, we talked about Jesus' authority over demons, where he healed a man's son who was possessed by a demonic spirit. And so today we're discussing healing on the Sabbath, wherein Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. Now, all the while, the Pharisees are observing Jesus. They're watching him. They're interrogating him. And we'll discover that these interrogations and the reason they were watching Jesus is because they held so rigidly and so strictly, not to the law of Moses per se, but they had added, at least in this instance, in the text that we'll teach from today, 39 other forbidden things, that is, that you could not do that was associated with work. As far as the Sabbath was concerned, you were not to do these things. And so Jesus, through what he does here in Luke chapter 6, he actually confounds them in as he tells the story about David over in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David, he and those men who were with him who were hungry. And he uses that to illustrate to them. And he asked them profound questions for which they were confounded, couldn't respond. And therefore, Jesus was teaching them a point about how they were rigidly applying the law and missing the point of what? Doing good deeds. Mm-hmm. Doing good deeds. Amen. Healing on the Sabbath, Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. These Pharisees fail to recognize Jesus for who he said he was, and they fail to exercise faith in him even after his demonstration of those miracles which he performed right before their very eyes. And yet, they're seeking, in fact, some miracles he performed. In fact, when he claimed to be God, they said that they accused him of blasphemy. You go back and read over in Mark chapter 5, they accused Jesus of blasphemy. Amen. But you and I, what we want to glean from the text today that helps us to understand how we ought to observe the Sabbath is this. The facts are to show how traditions became more sacred than the word of God to the scribes and Pharisees. Many of us, perhaps those of us that are on this Zoom this morning, perhaps have some experience whereby we can testify as we grew up as children, things that our parents did in church that we had no clue. They could never explain it, or they never tried to explain it to us, but they did these certain things and you didn't understand why. You know, for example, why, you know, you hold up the one finger, you know, you walk out to church, whatever, you know, just certain things that it's like, okay, so it doesn't make sense. you're telling me not to do this, or you're telling me to do that, but you don't explain to me the why behind it. Amen. The principle is to show that God's word can stand on its own and does not need man's rules added to it. The Ten Commandments had already been given. And the Pharisees, they devised more rules. And and today, you know, those who practice Judaism and so forth over in the Middle East and so forth, they've got, you know, they got all these rules that you must abide by. I'm just letting that sink in. And it's not even attached to your salvation and how you ought to apply God's word as the standard for your life. The Bible is clear. No man can keep the law. If you broke one, you've broken them all, according to God's word. The law is our schoolmaster. It shows us how much we need Jesus. He is the only one who can wash our sins away. Now, the application is that we should obey God from our heart and not just outwardly. From our heart and not just outwardly. That's the application, is not looking good on the outside. Because the heart of the matter, Sister Christine, is the heart. Bible declares that God looks at the heart. David says, give me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. And all of us, I'm just talking about me, not you, need to have our hearts circumcised by the word of God. Amen. Because he is the standard by which we are to live. If I may ask someone, please, my sister and our brother, if you'll read the golden text coming from our discussion today found in Luke chapter 6, golden text.
Golden text had read, and he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 6, verse 5.
Thank you, Brother Jared. Underscore Sabbath. Sabbath. What does that word Sabbath mean? What is the true meaning of the word Sabbath? It's a Hebrew word. What does that mean, Sabbath? Hey, here it is. And we won't go there. You're familiar with it. As we look at the Ten Commandments found in the book of Exodus, if you were to go back to Exodus chapter 20, you will discover right at about verse 8 is where the fourth commandment is given and all that it says there about work. And in fact, you know what? Let's turn there so that we can really wrap our minds around the context of this lesson today and how, when the law was given at that time, what was the intent of that law? Exodus chapter 20, and just take a look at verse number 8. And if someone would read there, Exodus chapter 20. Does anyone have it?
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Okay, and then read on to verse number 9 as well.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work.
Verse 10.
But the seventh day in the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates.
Amen. Now, you will find those same words stated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verses 12 through 15, those same words are there yet again. And where God gives this commandment, And then he likewise tells them in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. It was a covenant between God and his people, the Israelites. The Pharisees, yeah, they add these additional rules, the Torah, making it difficult for you to navigate through life in a natural way. In other words, just like Brother Washington, you're walking on eggshells, afraid to do anything. You know, someone might whack you across the head. You know, they're waiting for you to make a mistake. Amen. The word Sabbath literally means to rest from labor. It's a Hebrew word, to rest from labor. Again, going back to your childhood, I know, you know, my grandmother, man, you couldn't do nothing on Sunday. Wash no car, mow no lawn, rake no leaves, nothing. In fact, when I was growing up as a little boy, Jerry, we spent all day in church. All day. As a little boy, you exasperated. You running and playing and sleeping and going on and you know, all day. That's just the way it was. Now, some folk, man, can't sit 5 minutes in church. The Bible does not specify, my sisters and my brothers, exactly what the work includes. But the Pharisees came up with, and there's a word I'm hanging on to it. I'll share it with you a little later on to show you what these rigid rules that they attached to the Ten Commandments that made it difficult for folks. And they were always good at the externals, that is the Pharisees. But their hearts, and Jesus exposed them, were not in the right place. Jesus uses the Sabbath as an occasion for teaching, not only with his words, but also with his actions. So there were those who came not only to observe, but likewise to criticize as they watched him. Hey, can I say it like this? There are people that are watching, not you, they're watching me, so they can criticize. He says he's this, he's a deacon. So let's see what flaws we can find. So it's not unlike, listen, our day and time is not unlike the way it was during Jesus' day. Not unlike. Can I tell you like this, though? Jesus has authority over the Sabbath. He has authority over the Sabbath. Amen. Because here it is. We're talking about honoring the Sabbath to keep it holy. And it actually came to the fore during Jesus' day. Here's why. Because the rules the Pharisees had added to the original Sabbath law. That's why they got into this deep discussion. That's why they watched Jesus and observed his action. The early church worshiped on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Because why? Because it is the day in which Jesus, the Lord himself, was raised from the dead. The Sabbath at that time was what? On the seventh day of the week, which is what? Saturday. The Sabbath. Now we, because the identification of when he was raised is the day in which we now worship, called All Sunday, the first day of the week. It's good to know what you know so you understand why you do what you do. Amen. There are two things, two areas of discussion that the author has identified these subtopics, the Lord of the Sabbath in Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and then secondly, doing good on the Sabbath, verses 6 through 11. Please, ma'am or sir, my sister and or my brother, if someone would please read verse 1 of Luke chapter 6.
And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands.
All right. Thank you, Sister Christine. Do you see it there? So in our terms, in our day, we would say that this is the second Sunday. It says right there, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath. So that would have been for us last Sunday. The second Sabbath. Notice, after the first, that he went through the cornfields and disciples plucked the ears. Boom, right there. Underscore pluck. Remember I said earlier that the Bible does not specify exactly what that work includes that you're not to do? Right there, pluck. That's work. You ever harvest corn? You ever pick peanuts? You ever, picked oranges, peaches, they beans, peas, tomatoes, they plucked. In fact, this wasn't corn. It was actually a wheat, a type of wheat, whereby you could eat the seeds. They were nutritious. But notice, says right there, they went through the cornfields and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat. Watch this, rubbing your hand. That's the Pharisees, man, that's work. I saw them pluck it. Because watch this, you had to rub it in your hands to do what? To get the husk off of it. And then they did eat. And the Pharisees are there watching. They're there watching. Amen. Hey, Jesus' custom, notice what he does. Notice what he does. He always found himself, as was his custom, what? Teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. He's in Nazareth and he does that. He's attending the synagogue on Saturday in the synagogue. In fact, go over to Luke chapter 4 and watch verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Anybody have it there? And read verse 16, Luke chapter 4, verse 16.
Came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
Amen. That's his custom. That's what he always did. And if you were to move further down to verses 31 through 37, he's there in Capernaum. And he's yet again in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he's there amazing the people with his power by casting out an unclean spirit. That's on the Sabbath. But he's teaching the word. He's honoring the Sabbath according to the law. But people are missing the point. And he's demonstrating, and we haven't gotten there yet, but we'll come to that verse where he talks about the Sabbath and what it truly means. And they're missing it. They're missing it. Well, let me frame it like this. All right. And forgive me in this illustration. If you have a sucking chest wound, you're trying to tell me you're not going to get up and go to the hospital in order to get treated, to be healed, because it's Sunday. It's extreme, but think about that. You see how absurd that is? It's very absurd. Because we're talking about these individuals that Jesus healed. Many of them, this brother with the withered hand, I mean, it wasn't like life-threatening. It wasn't life or limb threatening. Who knows? He may have had that withered hand from birth or whatever the case may be. But Jesus is act was to demonstrate his deity. so people would understand. These rigid rules looking good on the outside is not what God is interested in. God wants to know, where is your heart? Because your heart is the heart of the matter. And oh, by the way, them plucking the corn, they weren't stealing. It wasn't considered theft, because the law of that day was that, yes, you could, you know, as long as you weren't picking, harvesting for the purpose of gain. You were going to pluck somebody else's harvest and sell it for your gain. Amen. You go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, and you can discover there what the law allowed and so forth. That's what's taking place here. So they're watching Jesus to see what he's going to do. Because watch this. Somebody read verse 2 of Luke chapter 6. Watch this. Verse 2.
And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?
Do you hear it there? You see it there? Listen what they ask. Why do ye that which is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now they're interrogating me. They're asking Jesus, why are you doing what is not lawful? Not lawful on the Sabbath. Don't miss that. Not lawful on the Sabbath. There's a word. It's a Hebrew word. And it's pronounced Malachot. M-E-L-A-C-H-O-T. M-E-L-A-C-H-O-T. Malachot. Yeah, listen, it clarified 39 types of work that were not permitted on the Sabbath, including, watch this, Brother Washington, reaping. Because that's what they were doing. They were reaping. They were in there and they plucked, the Bible says. Malachot. So you got all these rigid rules that they've added. And so they asked the question of Jesus, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Now watch this. It's important that we realize that neither Jesus nor his disciples violated basic laws like the Sabbath. The disputes between Jesus and the Pharisees was over the Sabbath, which concerned the additional rules, the Malachot, that was forbidden on the Sabbath. That's the argument that they are making. That is, they being the Pharisees. Watch this. One of their own, the rabbi, he said it like this, that they devised these rules that were devised. Watch this. I like this. Mountains hanging by a hair. Can you envision a mountain hanging by a hair? In other words, what he is saying is that they believe the interpretation of the Sabbath rules were strictly a guess and not a biblical requirement. Because it had nothing to do with the law of Moses. Listen, we are a nation of laws, are we not? A nation of laws. And those laws are in place for a reason. Some of them oftentimes don't make any sense, may not necessarily be necessary. However, they are the law. And if you violate the law, one should reasonably expect that there will be some consequence for doing so. God's people, you and I, as believers of Jesus Christ, listen, they were required to provide food for the hungry, and you and I should likewise care for the poor. No matter what day of the week it is, we should care for the poor. The Sabbath, right now, today, someone turn over to Exodus chapter 31, please, ma'am or sir. Exodus chapter 31. And I would ask you, would if you would, please, ma'am or sir, read verses 13 through 15. Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 through 15. The Sabbath was a sign and remains a sign to this very day between God and the Jewish people. There's no evidence in the Bible that the Sabbath observance was ever required for us as Gentiles. If you will, read if you have it there, Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 through 15.
Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death.
Did you hear that? Now that's to the Jewish nation, the Israelites. He says it right there. Surely my Sabbath you shall keep 4 days. A what? A sign, a covenant between who? Me and you throughout your generations. That's a clear indication, my sisters and my brothers, watch this, that keeping the Sabbath is the Lord's ideal. That's not a human invention. That's God's ideal. Notice he says, it is the Lord who what? Sanctifies you. I set you apart. Why? Because I want your focus to be on me on that day of what? Rest. I want your undivided attention. I want you, after understanding 6 days, all that you've done, all that you've been through, all that going to the job, all that, now set that aside. And do what? Focus on me. I'm the one that woke you up this morning. I'm the one that allowed you to go to your job Monday through Friday. I'm the one who allowed you to wash the car on yesterday, to mow the lawn, to rake the leaves, to wash the clothes, all that. But today, I need you to focus on me. This is not the day to go fishing. It's not the day to go hunt. No, I want you to focus on me. It's not meant for casual recreation, but for what? Worshiping God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I'm just telling you what it says in the Word of God. It's right there. You see it? Amen. Watch this. Self-righteous people are always enforcing rules that enable them to condemn others. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Watch this. In their what? Self-righteousness. In their self-righteousness. Amen. Amen. All right. Someone please, ma'am or sir, read verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4.
And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the shoe bread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Washington. So listen how Jesus answers them. He answers them basically with a riddle. He asks them, he says, have ye not read so much as this what David did? And if we were to turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 21 and read verses 1 through 7, we'll then be able to see when David and his men show up there, and the priest Abiathar, who is working there in the temple. And what would happen is the bread could only be out for those seven. It had to be changed on that seventh day, and fresh bread would have to be put there. David shows up, he and his men. Remember, they're being chased. David's being sought after by Saul, and he's got a group of men with him. And one of the things that the priest did ask David, he said, well, listen, if I give you this bread, have these men, are these men purified? Are they clean, or have they been with a woman? And David actually, watch this, David tells an untruth. He tells them, first of all, he tells the priest, he says, listen, and watch this. The priest was, he was freaking out, man. He was like, wait a minute, what is David doing here? Something must be going on. And so David then tells him a story that was not a truth. He says that I was sent by the king, and he told me not to reveal anything to anybody. So I can't tell you what he commanded me to do. You know, I have my men in the several areas stationed, you know, so forth. And David says, but we're hungry. And yes, we've been without a woman for 3 days indeed. And David then took the bread, and he and those that were with him, and they ate. That's what Jesus is asking the Pharisees now. Since you're steeped in the word, you know the story of David. Have you forgotten? And you just read it. It's right there. It says, and verse 4, how he went into the word, there it is, the house of God, and did take and eat the shewbread, and gave also to them that were with him, the men that were with him, which, watch this, is not lawful. Underscore, it's not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And if you were to go and read there in 1 Samuel chapter 21, he told him, Abiathar told him, I don't have no uncommon bread. In other words, that's bread that has not been sanctified to the Lord. He said, I don't have any uncommon bread. So that event in David's life, really, the author suggests that it actually resembles what was happening with Jesus and his disciples, and can be compared to David. It does seem as though Jesus was claiming to have a moral and royal authority like David. King has authority. That's why the priest responded the way that he did, based on the ceremonial law. And he's like, wait a minute, what the hell is David doing here? So Jesus, much the same as David, had the authority to authorize his disciples to pick grain in the field on the Sabbath. Because we're going to see what Jesus then tells them as we move deeper into the text. Can I say it like this? The law, Deacon Burge, was set aside to meet genuine human needs. They were hungry. David shows up. They're hungry. I would suggest that David knew the law, but he asked him, do you have any bread to eat? Because he said, we're hungry. Oftentimes we, not you, but me and people I know, will apply so rigidly rules and regulations and laws at the expense of meeting other folks' needs. People who have a need. Amen. We talked much about that yesterday in our deacons meeting about being a people helper. Sister Christine, you know about being a people helper. You know, you're an evangelism student. You get the evangelism 106, and yeah, we run you through the grind and how to be a people helper. You got to recognize that people are in need. Forget about the rules and the regulations. You know, like when you go to a government agency and so forth, and you got a legitimate need and people are just running you through the mill back and forth over silly stuff, rules. Your light bill needs to be paid. The baby needs milk or whatever. You know, they'll fill out this and come back next week and all these kinds of silly things that the government does. And the person still has not been or had their need met. Am I making sense? Is it just me? I mean, I'm just trying to say this is what Jesus is trying to get these Pharisees to understand and to know and to see what he's doing. Amen. Proving his what? His deity and his authority. That's what Jesus is doing. But they're watching him so they can do, make an accusation against him. Can I say it like this? The heart of the law leads us to praise God. That's the heart of the law. The heart of the law. Emphasis on heart, the heart of the law. God's law. And God's law always leads us to do what? What's right. Yeah, you do what's right. Amen. Amen. Someone please, my sister and our brother, read verse number 5. Verse number 5. Watch this. Watch this.
And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
There are two principles in that verse alone. Two. He said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Some scholars suggest that what Jesus says there, by having said that, there are two interpretations that we can surmise. And these two interpretations contain more than one truth at the same time. In other words, it's a paradox. Both can be true at the same time. The first interpretation is that Son of Man refers to all people. So what Jesus would be saying is that people are more important. There it is. I told you to pay attention that people are more important, Brother Washington, than the Sabbath. The word of God said, to him that knoweth to do good, but doeth not, to him it is a sin. And somewhere over in Proverbs, it's talking about when you have the power to do good, you just ought to do good. I paraphrase, yeah, you just ought to do good. Turn over to Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And if someone would read right there, Mark chapter 2, verse 27. In fact, read both 27 and 28 of Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. And listen to this. Listen to how it reads. Listen what Jesus says here. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28.
And he said unto them, the Sabbath is made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Luke chapter 6, verse 5. What does he say? The Son of Man is what? Also Lord of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. The Sabbath was what? Made for man and not man for the Sabbath. 6 days work. Just as God didn't rest because he was tired. God looked back over his creation and said, it is what? Good. And he rested. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. The Sabbath made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Because God wants us to do what? Devote time to him because he is the one that's sustaining us. He's the one, the Bible says, it's in him we live, move, and have any being. We need to focus on him, the giver of every good and perfect gift, the giver of life, the one who is keeping and sustaining us. Amen. Fulfilling human needs, my sisters and my brothers, like hunger, should not be interfered with by any interpretation of Sabbath laws. Filling a human need, according to the ways of thinking, doing what is necessary to bring food to the hungry is not considered work or a violation of the Sabbath. It's about fulfilling a human need, doing good, because it's the right thing to do good. Mommy used to say it like this, it's just good to do good. Amen. Now, the second interpretation is this, is that Jesus uses the story about David is to suggest that the Son of Man is Jesus himself. And he was claiming that, watch this, he had a special authority to make rulings about what was permitted on the Sabbath. He is the creator, isn't he? By him, all things consist. All things that were made by him and for him. And everything that was made and everything that consists, he made it. So it would seem to me that he has authority over it. It's like, well, here it is. You know, you raising your children, you tell them, hey, listen, whatever you want up in this house, you ask me for it. Because you have what? Authority over it. They don't just get to walk up in there and grab a banana. Or stick their hand in the cookie jar, you know, and get 20 cookies. You told them, you want something in here, you ask for it. Amen. Jesus has authority over the Sabbath. It's right there in the text. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's what he said to them. Can I say it like this? Jesus is to be honored as Lord on the Sabbath, and watch this, every other day.
Amen.
Not just the Sabbath, but every other day. Because he made all 7 days. And so we ought to do what? Honor him every day with our lives. The Bible declares in Lamentations, man, this is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. For his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. And every living being that wakes up to see a new day ought to look up toward heaven and tell God, thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, we talked about Lord of the Sabbath. Let's conclude here in these remaining 6 verses, doing good on the Sabbath. If someone would please go ahead and read verses, what are we going to go? 6 and 7.
And it came to pass along on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Watch this. Another Sabbath. So this is a different Sabbath. It's another Sabbath. And he again is where? In the synagogue. You see it there? On another Sabbath that he entered what? Into the synagogue. And what is he doing? Teaching. Notice he's teaching. But the Pharisees aren't really paying attention to the teaching. Because it says right there in verse 7, not that they were interested in it, in him teaching. Watch this. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. See that right there? They watched him. And why are they watching him? Whether he would do what? Heal on the Sabbath day, that they might do what? The only reason they're watching Brother Washington is so that they might what? Accuse him. They're not trying to learn anything. Dude, can I tell you this? That there are folk who show up in the church just to watch and to accuse and make accusation. Yeah, they just show up just to watch. Oh, Lord, please don't let your word penetrate my heart and convict me of anything and convince me that I need Jesus. No, I'm just here to watch. So I can say, see, I told you. Told you that rascalette, she ain't who all she thinks she is. Told you that rascal. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. To accuse him. Now, here it is. There is a principle to be taught here in this text about what is permitted on the Sabbath. Jesus deliberately used the occasion to what? Of meeting the person, not only do a deed of love and kindness, but also, watch this, to teach the Pharisees and the people watching what the Sabbath was really all about. That's the principle. Two ways to observe the Sabbath is the way Jesus is teaching and healing. He's in the synagogue. He observed the Sabbath according to the custom of the people, focus on the words of God in Scripture. That's what we come to do. You're not there to people watch. Your mind needs to be, before you leave home, you need to have your mind, oh man, I'm going to meet Jesus. Because I'm looking for whoever stands behind the sacred desk. And yes, I got my Bible, whether you're using an electronic device or a manual Bible, whatever. And yes, I'm going to, yep, he's right. He's exactly right, because there it says right there, amen, got it. Not looking around to see who's got on what and what kind of, no. You need to be focused on what? I need a word from the Lord because I want to be better.
Amen.
I'm trying to get closer to him. Now, he's also observing the Sabbath with the intention of doing good deeds, the work of God in the world. And that's what we're all called to do. Amen. Now, the opposite way to observe is much like what the Pharisees were doing. And watch this. That is, the Sabbath is seen in the reactions of the Pharisees, in the way that they behave. They were there only to criticize. And that's true of the church today. People show up to be critical. And watch this. Isn't it ironic that those generally are the people who aren't serving, but they're critical of those who are? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Amen. And Jesus exposed their lack of true devotion. And all they were trying to do was find an accusation against Jesus. Amen. Watch this. We humans, not you, but me and people I know, we tend to look for opportunities to criticize other people. I'm just letting that sink in. I'm not doing anything, but I'm criticizing you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Bible declares that let everything you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to please men. And God is looking at your heart. And when you know what you're doing comes from your heart and is motivated by the Holy Spirit that is in you, then you ought to just do it because it's the right thing to do. Can I say it like this, Brother Washington, if you'll permit it? There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Man, I think I just said something. Y'all ought to go ahead on and put that on X. Facebook that. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And the Pharisees didn't get it. Because they're concerned about the Malachite. All these rigid rules and regulations. Amen. Let us close it out. Someone please read these remaining four verses, 8 through 11. I'm noting the time here.
But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good, or to do evil, to save life, or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored full as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Praise God for you. Listen. Do you see it there? Listen to what Jesus says in verse 8. He knew their thoughts. And so then he asked the young man, stretch forth his hand and rise up. And Jesus says to him, or to them rather, he says, I ask you one thing. Remember, I talked about this. It is better, my sisters and my brothers, to do good. Now look what the word of God says. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do what? To do good or to do evil? It's just good to do good. And then he says, to save life or destroy it. And notice here, in verse 10, and looking round about upon them, he said, yeah, I'm all of you up in here. And he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Now watch this, verse 11. And they were what? Don't you know that there are folks who get mad in the church when you do good? And you want to know what it is? It's the condition of their heart. That's what Jesus means when he says, is it better to do good or to do evil? But let's reverse the roles. So put yourself in that person's shoes. What would you reasonably want others to do for you? But you mad. I like putting it where the ghost can get it, saints. Man, we just got to understand this thing for what it is. We don't need to add to it. It's right there in the text. Jesus is asking you and I today, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy one? It's right there. See, the Pharisees, they planned to do evil because they wanted to accuse Jesus and get him into trouble. Jesus planned to do good, to teach and heal a man with a disability. And can I say it like this? Jesus, the lesson he teaches here is very simple. Merely keeping the form of a command does not make you righteous. You know, the folk who want to invoke the Bible and scripture into everything, and that makes them righteous? No, it's right there. Jesus asked the question. A godly person, watch this, keeps the intent and the form of, watch this, God's commands. Not no self-righteous thing that you've got drummed up in your finite mind. Not you, but me and people I know. No. Jesus' teaching is not just about the Sabbath, my sister and my brothers. It's about the commandments that are God's will. Jesus did the Father's work on the Father's day, and Jesus' disciples, you and me, are to imitate him. We're to imitate what Jesus did and has taught us through his word. Believers in Jesus have many opportunities to honor him by doing good, sometimes at great personal cost. Serving the Lord comes at what? As a sacrifice. It will cost you something to get on the, go visit the sick that are 30 miles away in some hospital. And we know this here in San Antonio, man. We have members that can end up in any of these local treatment facilities. And we deacons can tell you some things, man, and that's a sacrifice, and some members too. that understand community and yeah, believe it. Listen, I love this sister, love this brother, and man, I'm going to go visit with him. Because one would reasonably expect that we would have expected, hey, if we're down, that we want somebody to come visit us too. Amen. Man needs a day of rest and worship for, watch this, physical, emotional, and spiritual reasons.
Amen.
Now you need rest. Yeah. Amen. Jesus' teaching required a new mindset. Christians need to continually search the scriptures and make God's word the basis to their decisions. Amen. Listen, my sisters and my brothers, that's my time. I thank you for your time. I'm out of time. And until next time, may God richly bless you, my dearly beloved. If you received it on the day, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.